the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the Feast of Corpus Christi, and we're having a Misa Cantata, sung Mass. It's good to be here in Montana with you. I also grew up in the Wild West in Colorado, but it's not quite as wild as here in Montana. But my experience may have been similar to many of yours in 10 years of Catholic grade school and several years of high school. I had never heard that the Eucharist was truly Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. I heard everything else. It was the bread of community and everything, but I had never heard it was actually the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. Until I was about 17, and my best friend's dad came hobbling down the stairs. He was a Korean War vet, and he handed me a book by Bob and Penny Lord called Eucharistic Miracles. And he had been trying to get me to go to confession for a while, and I said, I don't need confession. What are you talking about? And he'd say, you can't go to confession with those sins on your heart. You're committing sacrilege. And I said, it's just the bread, or at least I thought, it's just the bread of the community. Why does any of this matter? When he gave me that book of Eucharistic Miracles, I started looking through, and what I found is about every 100 years through history, there was some doubting priest who would walk right up to that altar, take the bread, and say, this is my body. And when he lowered it, it was a bleeding piece of flesh. This miracle happened almost every 100 years. And I'm looking through this book, and I said, you mean this happens at every Mass, and I just can't see it? And he said, every Mass. And I said, now I understand why I have to go to confession. At least I thought that. I was too arrogant to admit it to him at the time, but I went to confession. But this book changed my life because I realized that every Mass, the substance means the thing that a thing is. The substance changes. When the priest says, this is my body over bread, there's no more bread on the altar. When he takes that chalice and says, this is my blood, there's not kind of a bloody wine. There is no wine left on the altar. There's only the blood of Jesus. There's only the body of Jesus. The accidents, that means the what we look at, we smell, we hear, that doesn't change. But occasionally, that miracle of the substance changing, I'll call it a bonus miracle. The bonus miracle is the accidents change. And that only happens about every 100 years. Now, why doesn't Jesus do that every single Mass? Why doesn't a Eucharistic miracle, or I should say the bonus miracle, I don't mean that in a supercilious or a mocking way of our Lord, by any means. Why doesn't the bonus miracle happen? Because scientists would be lined up outside. Christ wants us to come to him through love. Everyone would be here for the show, not for love. So at this Mass, you will see the substance change, but the accidents remain. Every 100 years, and it's weird this was given to a doubting priest, the substance and the accident changes, and he lowers it. And it's a bleeding piece of flesh. But that's every Mass, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. But the one that really got me when I was looking through this book that this Korean War vet gave me when I was 17 was Lanciano, Italy. It says an ancient Anzanum in the city of Frentanese has contained for over 12 centuries the first and greatest Eucharistic miracle of the Catholic Church in Lanciano. This wondrous event took place in the 8th century in the little church of St. Lingonsian as a divine response to a Basilian monk's doubt about Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist. During Holy Mass, after the twofold consecration, the host was changed into live flesh and the wine was changed into live blood, which coagulated into 5 globules, irregular and differing in shape and size. That host is still in a monstrance in Lanciano. I drove there when I flew into Rome to go see it right before my diaconate ordination to thank God for converting me on the Eucharist. The website that I just read that from, called The Real Presence, you can check it out, therealpresence.org, says these 3 facts about the miracle of Lanciano. Again, it's a host, but it's actually flesh, still not corrupted 1,200 years later, in that monstrance. And this is what the website says. 3 facts. 1, the flesh is real flesh. The blood is real blood. 2, the flesh and the blood belong to the human species. And 3, the flesh consists of the muscular tissue of the heart. They tested it. It's the muscular tissue of the heart. As I said, about every 100 years, there's a miracle like this. In 2008, there was another one in Poland. The website Alatea says this, on Sunday, October 12th, 2008, at St. Anthony's in Sokolka, Poland, a consecrated host fell from the hands of one of the priests during the distribution of communion next to the altar. The host was expected to dissolve in water. You take the host, you put it in an ablution cup like you have over to this side. It was expected to dispose in water, which would later be disposed of properly. And that's where we pour the dissolved species into the dirt. Sister Julia Dubovska of the Congregation of the Eucharistic Sisters was the parish sacristan. A week later, on October 19th, Mission Sunday, when the pastor asked her about the condition of the host, Sister Julia went to the safe. When she opened the door, she noticed a delicate aroma. When she opened the container, she saw in the middle of the host, which was still largely intact, a curved, bright red stain, like a blood stain, a living particle of a body. The water was untainted by the color. A piece of the unaltered bread was taken and analyzed independently by two experts, Professor Maria Sobaniach-Latovska, a medical doctor, and Professor Stanislav Sukovsky, also a medical doctor, in order to ensure the credibility of the results. Both are histopathologists at the Medical University of Bialystok. The studies were carried out at the university's Department of Pathomorphology. So let's recap. The Eucharist is dropped, put in the ablution cup, doesn't dissolve. It's taken to histologists. Histology is the study of tissue. And I want you to pay special attention to this next line from this website. The results of both independent studies were in perfect agreement. They concluded that the structure of the transformed fragment of the host is identical to the myocardial heart tissue of a living person who is nearing death. Such strain on the heart. In every host, you must remember, Jesus gives us his body, blood, soul, and divinity. That means it's his entire body. But in every Eucharistic miracle, Christ shows which part of his body it is that he especially gives to us. It is Jesus' heart. That is why we must be in sanctifying grace through confession, to put something so sacred into our own bodies. As St. Francis de Sales says in so many words, if we cannot return that love, let us at least return the purity. In every study of histology, again, the study of tissue, the Eucharistic miracle turns out to be cardiac muscle. That's what you're going to receive today. The heart of Jesus. Looks like bread, tastes like bread, smells like bread, so you don't spit it out and say, ew. But it's the heart of Jesus. Such love for us. As you heard from that study in Poland, they concluded that the structure of the transformed fragment of the host is identical to the myocardial heart tissue of a living person who is nearing death. So it's not just the heart of Jesus, as if that weren't enough, but the stretched and resurrected heart tissue of our Savior, given for you and me. Perhaps this is why God, in his eternal providence, has willed that Corpus Christi usually fall within June, the month of the Sacred Heart. When Jesus was about to die, St. Matthew tells us, and one of the soldiers at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Notice that in some sense, Christ's death was the beginning of Pentecost. As here, he yields up his spirit. At least we know that there would be no Pentecost if it had not been for the Eucharist and for Calvary. And perhaps that is why God willed that Corpus Christi be shortly after Pentecost, here in Pentecost season. So for a greater faith in these mysteries, we look to Mary, who was there at the cross and there at Pentecost. Mary, who a Pope just about 100 years ago even called the Mother of the Eucharist, is the same Holy Mary who is the Mother of the Church at Pentecost, the Mother to the Apostles. She's the same one who became the Mother of every disciple at the cross when Jesus said, not only to John, but also to you and me, behold your mother. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.